Hey, welcome back to LA Lit with Catherine Daly. We're going to start back in again with another reading. Maybe you could give us some background info.
This is one section of a poem called Candy from my new book that's coming out in February in the UK called Vauxhall. It's called Vauxhall for a couple reasons, but one is that there was a pleasure garden, kind of like an old-fashioned amusement park, on Fox Hill in London that eventually became corrupted into Vauxhall. The word sounds like voice hall in a way. And they also made cars there, the Vauxhall cars, which are classic kind of 60s cars. Most of the poems in the book, they're occasional poems. They use collage elements, concrete poetry elements, and a lot of sound. Candy uses, the concrete poems are the names of things from vending machines and candy displays in dime stores, kind of read right to left. So if you went to a vending machine that had all different kinds of candy and snacks, and you just read all the labels left to right, and then of course on the page, it looks like all the print from the vending machine kind of thrown onto the page. So that's what that part is. And then this candy poem, there's a lot of bubblegum rock. So this one's called Sixlet. I want, where sugar is a type, girl an example, super blow pop, ring pop, twisted ring pop, baby bottle pop, charm top, tootsie pop, push pop, crazy dip pop rock, starburst, Skittles, M&Ms, airhead, sweet tart, bubble tape, sweet tart. Cellophane, a sweater-like wrap. Zingers, glazed honey bun, snowballs, Reese's, sour star, Snickers, beef, Nutra, salted, sweet and chewy, three pieces. Skittles, burst sticks, grains, peanut salty, sweet musketeers, mixed tarts. Twix, Lorna, Skittles, Nutra, Promax, fig, tropical, Snickers, M&M's, star, dune, grain, bar, Newton's, Skittles, burst, grandma's famous, grandma's animal, oatmeal, Amos, peanut, fudge, Snackers, raisin, chocolate, butter, chocolate, chip. For sugared loveliness, when sugar not spun or melted on the tongue is desire's object, sweeter than water, tart, jelly, jolly, Skittles, sour, trolley, belly, rancher, Skittles, strawberry, sour, bite, peaches, puffs, crawlers, tropicos, chewy runts, spree, original mini chewy, gummy, lifesaver, gummy runts, chewy, spree, savers, gummy bears, gobstopper, gobstocker, shock tarts, mini shock tarts, bottle caps, oompas, tartan, gummy, chewy, sweet, green apple, fruit chews, warheads, tinies, sweet tarts, starburst, sour, warheads, juju fruits, jujubes, now and later, dots, lemon head, classic, zowers, nerds, hot tamales, Mike and Ike, good and plenty, good and fruity, Twizzlers, jumblo, fun pop, Charleston chew, breakers, wafers, and desire, deeper than a wine dark sea, pour some sugar on me. Sounds strung to desire, uncouple, vocal play, shimmy shimmy, cocoa pop, snap crackle, yummy yummy, ba da ba da da. Nonsense words rhyme because they are nonsense. Turning, burning, yearning. Uno, look, rocky road, abba zabba, big hunk, sun-kissed, last chance, Twizzlers, sail, pull and peel, now and later, red vines, rhyme, a little prize at bottom, sound ditty, doo-wah, Aura blast, pez, 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 tootsie, tootsie, tic-tac, pez, pez, pop, roll, blow, pez, pez, pop, jolt, pop, way too sour, pop, Jolly Rancher, pop, Laffy Taffy, Laffy Tacky, York Airheads, crunch, cups, junior mints, chew, mongus, Butterfinger, Andy's mints, chiclets, fun dip, from command, valuable equipment, bring me sugar, restricted language, codes, baby talk. Oh, baby, baby, the Vatic hum of bubble gum, pop rocks sizzle on your tongue. And this Papercraft has a lot of concrete poems in it too, and they end up also being sound poems. This is from a poem called Lamps, and this is the lava lamp. Bloop, 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 wax bulb, hot base. Now, before, when I was here at Beta Level, I read the Tongue Twisters and different permutations from to delight and instruct. And the middle section of that was tongue twisters I fed into voice recognition software. And then I kept feeding and refeeding it back and back and back. And one of the things that I used to do this was MS Reader and Microsoft Word have avatars in German and French as the language is most closely related to English, and then English. And for each language, they have male and female voices. And then if you record them reading your text and play it back, I did that. And so these are the final dialogues that were created from the original Tongue Twisters, and Matthew's going to read the male part, and the French, we're not going to read the French and German, but the French avatars are Veronica or Veronique and Peter or Pierre. So I'm going to be Veronica. Eve above, come cease the merry thin press size of shirt. I am gash slash you.
The moon be my customers, socialize. Do the mixture and mix the oblique spoon.
Suspensiva virgula, after delaying washing without hesitation, the pigs go.
Spoon supply of thermal spa. Did you see it? Would you carry it? Hughes skimmer.
Hand signal, a thinner swimmer, hand washing and process of the little R ducks.
Quark, charlatan, on top of switch movements, sleeper push rod, obtain.
The green sock of goblin it me. Later, apart from grass, fish a platform in the love of food.
Flood flow the window equips this evening with stars above. The rain in Spain that...
You control the sandwich with fish or with brokering underground mainly on...
History of love or the green fairy or of the flat thrawn of thrawn they have.
Valley of Simi, not where it works. I thought that if alarm... and the next one is Anne and Steve. This is from the German. So I'll... It's Anna and Stephen, so I'm Anne. Line, point, place, remainder. Small feet do not go calm, visitors.
Listerine, deified a ton, which a clay slash tone at most accepts that the summary.
Better serving plate and more bleeder for company, my heart.
Sister Nero's Moses served friezes was burned during Rome. Music safe, I seep.
A better tractor. Do you pierce this replaceable letter and system?
Payoff alarms sieve skies at the payoff sector. Fiscal smash, you in such a way I instruct.
You see you, the pouring eyes conclude above, down, Proceed all gentlemen, rubber dresses of quiet roll murmuring. IG colors, days of butter and of swing.
Increases of wonder medallion or of batons remain if you shine the fact. The gooses through which are formed of takes whom a comfortable position.
And the English avatars are Michael and Michelle. So I'm Michelle. Oh, Michelle, you are so responsible.
Why, it would sound.
Without detour or delay, never reposable.
I'm going to see Black Flag.
For our ills.
I'm going to blow the whistle. I'm going to protest.
A war in the house, and after this war, domesticity is the only urbane conference.
They blather, blaspheming bastards.
Pain twins.
On blazes the meadow.
Look at the Federalist Papers and tell me.
Tantalus and the glowing.
You don't vote, but would sue.
Blade delayed the last team played point, should pull back.
And scheme, easy of provocation, fetch.
Blast away the lame boy image. The black client pulling the white balloon. 11 bellows blowing. 11 hellos blowing, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
That was great.
So I thought that was the end of the first part of the reading.
Oh.
Do you want me
works.
To?
No, that okay. I think that works. That's great. You know, I was gonna ask that, and this maybe isn't necessarily directly about your writing, but something that like I'm kind of interested in. In kind of things that you've done in Los Angeles and other places. Like, you've organized various different reading series at various different times, and I wonder, for you, like, how has that been as an experience, not so much the organization of it, but how has that, has it, or, and if it has, how has it affected your own writing?
Well, one of the things that, the reasons that I set up the reading series various places was to have a different kind of forum. I think like this is very different from all the series that you have here and all the different kinds of events you have here are very different from what other people are doing in general and just in town. Yeah. And I tried to do that, for example, at the time that I was running a fairly traditional reading series in a bar, you know, in New York. All of the other reading series in New York, at least that I knew about, were either poetry slams or they were based, or like poetry slams, were based on game shows. So there was the Wheel of Poets and there were, you know, spin the wheel and if your number came up then you would read, or, you know, the poetry slam, but, you know, at the New Yorican, and it was like the gong show and they held up numbers and there was a clap meter and, you know, all that kind of thing. It was very kind of commercial game show. And the idea that you would have a reading series that people would come who weren't famous people, and they would come and they would read, and they would also be learning how to present their work, mm-hmm. was different. So, you know, I was trying to, you know, that's the way I try to control my environment. You know, because I'm a fiendish controller of my environment. So, and in Los Angeles too, the my feeling coming from New York then, when we moved here, was just that certainly of American cities, Los Angeles had the worst public poetry face. The most disorganized, certainly the worst work, out there all the time. It just seemed like that. I mean, really, you know, kind of on a, like what you look up at the LA, is in the LA Weekly, or you know, is easy to find, is, you know, the same five people reading over and over again, and hardly anything else, and it's hard to get the information, and it's certainly not nowhere near the way it is in New York or San Francisco or Seattle or Chicago, where you can go to a museum and see something completely different than you will go if you go to, you know, like the Green Mill or you know, some of those places. You know, there's a, but in Los Angeles, you can go to the Autry Museum and see the same five poets who are reading at the Ruskin, who are the same five poets who are reading at, you know, whatever, and then the superstar people come in through the library. Mm-hmm. So I was, but LA is so huge, and there are so many people, and it's such a literate culture that, so what I tried to do is say, well, what can we do that will bring people into like a Barnes and Noble that won't feature the same five people, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's why I focused on the writers and teachers. And the idea was that people who wanted to take a writing class might want to come because they will want to see what the different writing teachers are writing, you know, before they sign up and take a class. And they'll want to see what their students are writing like, you know, how supportive or, you know, what kind of teachers they are. So that was really successful and it lasted a really long time. When I was doing the Smell series, which is way more successful now than it was when I was doing it, I was like, well, okay, who's going to come to this all ages club, you know, that's mostly known for music? And so I tried to bring into town the poets that I knew who were musicians and they were in bands. And so they would come and then they would play with their band, you know, so you could see that kind of interchange. And I think you've had Franklin Bruno read here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You can really see it when you hear him read his poetry and then you hear his songs. You can see how they're completely different and also how they relate.
Yeah.
So I was really interested in doing like different kinds of things like that.
Did you, we usually open the floor to questions from the audience during the second half. And we have mics here. You guys can just speak at whatever volume, is comfortable and, it'll pick it up. So if, I don't know if there's any questions out there in the audience. I mean, we have definitely more questions if you guys don't, so, but.
You were asked to come with questions.
No, many of my questions have been answered. It's been a very thorough
Q&A. Is there still poetry going on at the Smell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Teresa Carmody and Ara.
Ara Shrinian and Joseph Moscone. Yeah. It used to be Stan App, so he moved away, so. They co-curate a series there that's like once a month. It's a good series. It's funny how things just kind of gain their own steam. I think that, you know, I think that you said that the Smell is wildly more successful now, probably just because it's been going on for so long that people know about it on a different level anymore, maybe. I don't know, but yeah.
Well, Ara, because he co-founded the Smell, was always, his participation was always key, and yeah. Now that he's really here in town more,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That really helps.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are some of the other writers / musician people that were involved in that besides Franklin?
Chris Stroffolino, who played for the Silver Jews, and he has a band called Continuous Peasant now. We had to cancel that reading because there was a surprise wedding reception at the Smell, which if you've been there, is just ridiculous to even imagine. But there was a wedding, and Continuous Peasant and Chris Drosselino and a wedding were scheduled at the Swell at the same time, the wedding one. Chris Puma, who has been in a couple great bands in Portland, and he has the very long poetry series where they read very, very long poems. And he's also one of the Spare Room Collective that runs readings up in Portland. And other than those three, I mean, there were other people, but they were all, you know, kind of singer, songwriter, and poet.
Yeah.
I mean, you reference a lot of like underground kind of music in your work, Black Flag and stuff. Did you have any involvement in like the underground music scene here or elsewhere other than?
I grew up in the Midwest, and then when I went to college in Connecticut, I was shocked at the kind of scene there, because the music that I was listening to just kind of as a normal Midwesterner, you know, a lot of hardcore, a lot of punk, was, you know, seemed to demand a mohawk and lots of tattoos and only wearing the color black, stuff like that on the East Coast. So that was kind of I was a DJ all through college, and then I was also in the management of the radio station for 4 years, and I did a lot of DJing of parties and stuff like that, a lot of that kind of mixing kind of stuff. But my rock show was called Alien Rock. So it was, I mentioned the cover versions and that kind of stuff, but the genesis of it was experimental music, jazz, rock, like Magma, and some of those kind of strange bands from the 60s. Crossed with punk and an extremely in-depth knowledge of pop.
Okay, can I ask one more related question?
Yes.
Do you see it, because you have like, you're obviously involved with like the independent publishing world and that all over the country. Like, do you see a strong connection between like kind of that 80s do-it-yourself, like labels and punk bands in that world and publishing world and poetry world and all these kind of like regional scenes and how people connect in that way?
I know a lot of people who draw that connection, especially I think a lot of my friend Rob Roberge, who is now playing with the Chairs of Perception, who are the Urinals, who are 100 Flowers. So it's very LA punk. And that kind of DIY culture, also the Soft Skull people in New York and Shanna Compton and some of those people who worked for Soft Skull at one time. Very DIY and focusing on that. And I know that the Independent Publishing Awards here is a very kind of, they're trying to package and promote DIY publishing, and they're very much kind of saying, well, you know, now that Henry Rollins is no longer publishing his press, but it was based in LA, and you know, there's that kind of DIY kind of punk LA thing. But my experience of it, I'm coming from a completely different place, I guess. So that's why it's like I'm coming from the Midwest.
Right.
And so I don't see it. I don't see a kind of, you know, corporate America isn't out there, so I have to do it myself, and the only thing I have is a copier and a, you know, or a mimeograph machine, and that, you know, and I'm going to, you know, self-publish or perish, you know, that kind of thing. I guess that's not where I'm coming from. Like, I respect that and see that, but I think, I mean, I don't know where I'm coming from other than Decatur, Illinois, but.
Thank you.
I have a question. Can you speak a little bit more about the medieval mystics and the sense of containment and how that influences their lyric voice, maybe the relationship to the other female, you know, chanteuses that you appropriated, or that use of appropriation?
Kind of elliptically related to that, one of the things that I wanted to do was find what made, because there's a kind of unifying kind of gloom, peril, and set of vocabulary that comes out of reading that writing, you know, all together. And what I tried to do is take each woman and kind of try to find a way to find something specific to amplify, or you know, there's a reason that one of the poems is, you know, much more, you know, much wilder and more confessional than one poem is more about talking about hearing voices or what things you might tell yourself, you know, because I was trying to read each woman's writing and figure out what her basic subject was within the overall thing, if that makes sense, because it was so, the manner in which this, because it was writing under pressure, and it was, a lot of times it was just writing recorded from testimony rather than actually the women writing, so it wasn't exactly under their control. It was the same on the surface, and I tried to make it very different, and them to be very different kinds of poems. You know, so kind of find a content to fit a container to, in a way. But the other thing that was layered on top of that was this idea of that this was also the Baroque or early modern period, and that a lot of that writing in that period, well, there's a reason that it's called early modern now, that it was about embedded objects or objects that speak or things like that. And so I was trying to modernize it in a way by accentuating those things or kind of grafting on grafting on that kind of object nature to it, or embedding in, like the Marguerite Perret slide presentation is it's her writing, and she wrote mystery plays, and the characters in her mystery plays were you know, had allegorical names like Sophia, wisdom. So that was the reason I chose her work as the PowerPoint slide presentation, because it was very theatrical. And then even though her characters were named, you know, Sophia, and stuff, I translated that back to wisdom, you know, when I was writing the poems. And then I was trying to, because the poem is also about erasure, because the particular way they chose to kill her was to create a big pyre of her books and then burn her on it. You know, the slide presentations erase, and then I tried to write the way that they erased, fitting them to the content of the little piece of the poem. So I pick the part, you know, when she talks about the kernel of wisdom, to be the part where the slide transition, you know, collapses to a single word. Or the one where she's talking about the way that things repeat and there's a flow of the senses and everything, to the slide transition where things repeat until the most important line is the one that's left. If that makes any sense.
There are other questions from the audience?
Well, my question about your process, I was interested when you said, you know, years of piano and kind of that, the musicality and the language of music never seeming as infinite to you as the actual written language. But in your process, because your poetry is so different, because so much of it is based on sound, repetition of sound, if your process is a more almost like songwriter process, like when you're writing, you know, like if a, do you find that you need to hear things out loud before you put them on the page, or does it start with the written that in your mind, like a songwriter who, you know, which I certainly don't have, that you write notes and in your mind you can hear the language of the music. Can you hear those sounds on the page as vibrantly as when you speak them, or do you find that you're often talking, like you need to read your poetry out loud to get the rhythm and to get that, like that coming alive of the language, if that makes sense?
That's a good question. I have a huge disjoin that I haven't ever been able to put together. So I hear music. But I'm not a, you know, they're like, you know, sometimes you hear phrases and, you know, which I do, and words and stuff, you know, because all writers are kind of schizophrenic that way, but I hear music as well, but I'm not trying to fit what I'm writing to that music. I'm not trying to capture that music in language. And then I'm trying to, I guess I'm trying to build it up from the other direction, which is if you can have these words on the page and you can have them mean something, and if you can make them sound special without using sound effects, like meter, or, well, I use a lot of alliteration, I use a lot of rhyme, but I'm not saying, oh, what rhymes with potato? Mm-hmm. You know, I just at some point I found it when I met Adina Karasek, who's a good friend of mine who lives in New York. I read with her at the Ear Inn a long time ago. And when she read, I was like, yes, you know, that is what I'm trying, you know, I want it to sound like that. And I think what I learned from her is that you have to just go And so that was very freeing. It's like, no, I should just, all this kind of stuff that I hear, I should just go with it and just push it as far as I can. But I'm not trying, I don't have this, I'm just kind of doing stuff and following it rather than hearing it and trying to replicate it.
And it's not, you don't need to hear it in order to write it, I guess, too, is what you're saying.
Well, I guess when I write it, I do hear it because you read it.
Right.
This is, well, as a teacher, this is one of the reasons, you know, when I was going to writing school, which is a really long time ago, most poets, anyway, that I was studying with and that I was in class with, that were completely unable to read their own work. And their position was kind of like, well, you know, I'm a poet, I'm not a critic, I have my ideas, but some critic is going to come along, or some editor is going to come along, or some publisher is going to come along, and they're going to tell me what it is, you know, or what, you know, what it means. So maybe it really isn't about my mom, maybe it's about the maternal instinct or something, I don't know, whatever. And I have always been, no, I know what I want this to mean. And then if I'm doing this crazy process-based stuff, then I start doing it, or I set it in motion, and then I figure out what it means, and then I really write it so that it really means that. And so I guess that's where I come, that's the circle back to this kind of DIY. You're not waiting for somebody else to find you and tell you what it means. You have to be your own, and this is kind of the wobbly eye too. You have to be your own reader, which is, everyone knows that and is blatantly obvious, but.
Yeah. Well, should we, if there's no other questions from the audience, should we finish with you?
Yeah, so I wanted to read a piece from Da Da Da, which is from the Palm Anthology poem, which displays that kind of sound play, and then finish up with the beginning of the end of the title poem for Cantatrice, which is the other side of the book that I started with. So this is the section of Palm Anthology called Display. Unfold your limbs, send your antennae, become pliant, I plead, unfurl. For to furl furbelows, we frenetic fetishists, seeking fraught fresh frenzy, might furbish, burnish love's furnace, ferocious menace, fervent referral, with fermit, may tie or bind bonds. Buy, don't sell. We are two vagabonds. Moon River. Let me call this feedback. Beat, beat, beat. I'll recall my oscillator. Complete coupling reciprocal inductance. Mutual exhaustion. Dual laud controls. Gaudy Van Goghs and Gauguins. Separate beat, frequency, multivibrant nonlinear device, accomplished coupling, mutual inductance, not exhausting, tune, radio, receive. And then this is the end of Cantatrice. Cradle, incunabulae, regressive series of dialectical readings, contradictions, fractures, disjunctions, subversions, versus nihilism, worship therein, where there, elimination of thought and body, so unlimited it is not a thing, to think or to blank one's mind, mind losing oneself in the industrial process, network, etc., to free one's process, hierarchy, making himself interesting. I can say, be of the slightest interest, he sang, nothing. Then how do we know? Keeper, in the search for secrets, discovery is more important than the finder is. Leaves, strafing, raking the new novelty, perpetual change of season. Frightened people murder liberty, party line. They see established stable of writers poetical, fear of peers seeking political structure, author of the genocide, name indelibly written in the minds of his people, even if it is old, dead, consumed, full memory, total recall or context, lack of specific memory or contested art item, informant. I know the pieces fit. I saw them fall away. Okay, so that was going to be a piece of Tool's song Schism that's a quote from. I know the pieces fit. I saw them fall.
So what didn't you get?
Oh, the computer ran out of power, so we lost the last sound from a Tool song. Sorry about that.
Yeah, we started with the Sound of Music, and we were ending with that.
But we'll put it in the recording.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so
but
much.
Thank you thanks for guys for coming and asking great questions.
Thank you.
Thank you all for coming.